my goal as the pastor of this church is that you are fed the Word of God. That when you come to this church, the Bible will be opened, it will be read, it will be explained, and it will be applied to our lives. You come here not to be entertained, not to hear some message that is basically something other than Scripture, but you come to hear a word from God, and that's my commitment. I believe the same mandate applies to all pastors.
This should be reassuring for you today. Pastor John will be teaching from God's Word. Sound biblical teaching is his goal with every message he shares, and today he'll urge you to find a church with the same philosophy. Every pastor who teaches a congregation needs to be teaching from the Bible. Pastor John will also share that you need to be learning and correctly sharing God's Word too. Every time you quote Scripture, make sure it's in context and speaks the way God intended. Now let's join Pastor John in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4 as he begins his message, Preach the Word.
In this last chapter, chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, we have come to the last words of the great Paul the Apostle. Some have called this section, or even the entire epistle, Paul's swan song. The last words of great people are significant. They're like windows that help us to see into the very soul of the person speaking. And many times when I'm reading this passage and thinking about it, I'm thinking, what would I say if I knew I only had days to live? Because that's really where Paul is at. Paul had a certainty that he was going to be executed. Now, it could be days, could be weeks, could be a couple of months, but it would be a very short period of time. Paul's in prison in Rome, and he's not under house arrest anymore, receiving friends and so forth, but he's in a dungeon. It's called the Mamertine Dungeon. It was basically a hole in the ground, like a cistern, and they would drop the prisoner in, and there was no way to get out, and they would actually drop food down to them. So it was just a deep, dark hole or dungeon. So he's pouring out his last words to his young protege, Timothy, in the faith. And Paul says in verse 7, we'll get there in just a moment, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I have kept the faith. Those famous words of Paul, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, I've kept the faith. The race that God set before him, the faith that God had entrusted to him, and the fight that he was in the spiritual warfare of the ministry that God had called him to. So he's now being, verse 6, poured out, and we'll look at that in just a moment again, as a drink offering. So Paul is writing to Timothy with a full understanding that he is going to die, and he's passing the torch to his young protege. The longer I'm in the ministry, the more I think about the next generation. And will they be faithful to God's Word? Will they be faithful to the gospel? Will they be faithful to preach God's Word and to live a godly life and to impact their culture and their generation? And I think basically we all have a responsibility to serve our own generation. But if we can have a lasting impact by committing to faithful men, those who will teach others, that's a passion that I have as well. Now, the first section of this chapter is verses 1 and 2, and I would give it the title of The Charge. Look at it with me, verse 1 and 2. Paul says, verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, uses his whole title, Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and I'm reading from a King James translation, so uses the Old English, quick, for alive. In the Old English, if you were dead, you weren't very quick. If you were quick or alive, then you were living. So he'll judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This would be his second coming. And here's the charge, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now, I don't know if you have a life verse, But I've actually adopted this passage as my life verse. That this has been kind of like the guiding light, the direction, the guide, and the motivation for many years of ministry that God has called me to do just what Paul tells Timothy to do, charges him to do this one thing, to preach the word. Now, the charge is a solemn charge. I want you to notice that I charge thee therefore. The word charge there is actually a word of I adjure thee. It was used to call someone into a courtroom and to testify under oath. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of being called into a courtroom, being put on the witness stand, and saying, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? And you say, I will or I do, and you swear on the Bible. It's a very, very solemn kind of a situation. Well, that's the picture, the imagery, when Paul uses the word charge. He's calling Timothy into a courtroom, and he's saying, I adjure thee, I command thee, I charge thee. So he's to testify under an oath in a court of law. Paul is giving Timothy a solemn mandate that he must obey. In the Greek, this is what's called, again, an imperative or a command. It's imperative or it's a command. It's not an option. Timothy, you are to preach the word. Now, Paul realizes that he's going to pass off the scene and Timothy is going to take his place in ministry. And what's the one thing he wants Timothy to do? He wants him to preach the word. I am completely, absolutely, totally convinced, biblically, and I think that I see it in experience, that the greatest need in the church today is for pastors to do just what Paul told Timothy to do, and that is to preach the word. Today, pastors are doing everything but preaching the word. And they're involved in politics, which is okay, but that's not what the Bible calls us to do or a pastor to be. They're involved in psychological counseling. They're involved in other social activities. But the Bible calls the pastor to preach the word. When Paul met with the elders at Ephesus in Acts 20, he said, I know that after I leave shall grievous wolves enter in among you. They'll not spare this flock, but they'll lead people astray after them. So he says, I want you to preach the word. I want you to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight. When Peter wrote to the pastors or the elders in the church, he said, you are to shepherd. The word shepherd actually means to feed. The word pastor is the Latin form of the word shepherd. That's what the word pastor means, shepherd. And it actually has the word actually means to feed. Not only to lead, not only to protect, but it has the primary meaning of feeding. So I believe the number one primary job of a pastor is to feed the sheep. And my goal as the pastor of this church is that you are fed the word of God. That when you come to this church, the Bible will be opened, it will be read, it will be explained, and it will be applied to our lives. So you come here not to be entertained, not to hear some message that is basically something other than Scripture, but you come to hear a word from God, and that's my commitment. I believe the same mandate applies to all pastors and even to us as Christians, that when you witness and when you counsel and when you share with individuals, don't give them your philosophy, don't give them psychology, don't give them social justice, give them the good news of Jesus Christ. Nothing more, nothing less. Share the word of God. That's the pastor's number one priority. So Paul calls on two witnesses in this courtroom. I want you to notice them in verse 1. He says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. So here's the two witnesses. They are God the Father, that's pretty solemn, and God the Son. So God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that Jesus is going to come and he will judge the quick, the alive, and the dead at his appearing. Jesus is going to judge all mankind. He'll judge believers for their works. He'll judge unbelievers for their sin. He will sit on a great white throne and judge the unbelievers. He will sit on what's called the Bema seat. We're going to see at the end of our section. And he'll reward Christians for their faithful service. But you need to realize that we're all going to stand before the Lord, and we're going to have to give an account of our ministry and how we lived our Christian life. So Paul's giving Timothy the solemn charge and the witness of God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead. Now, the statement of the charge is in the second verse, and I've already alluded to it, but it is in verse 2, and it is very simple. Preach the word. Now, what he does in verse 2 is he tells them what to do, preach the word, and then he tells them how to do it. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And then beginning in verse 3, he tells him why to do it. So he's telling every pastor, and I actually believe that it's time for the people who go to church to know what the pastor's job is. And we're going to see that in a moment when in the last days people have itching ears and they turn their ears away from the truth and they're given unto fables. The pew should be demanding of the pulpit that he preached, that the Bible is preached. And I think more pastors would preach the word if the people actually said, that's what we want. If you don't preach the word, I'm going to go somewhere else and find a place where they do preach the word. Too many Christians going to churches where they don't preach the word when they need to go to the churches that do preach the word. But the Bible predicts that in the last days, people aren't going to want the word of God. They're going to want their ear tickled or their fancy tickled. So the statement, and again, Paul gives five imperatives or commands, all in what's called the aorist tense. The first is preach the word, commandment number one. Now, the word preach there is the Greek word keruso. It's spelled K-E-R-U-S-S-O. Keruso. And we get our word to herald from it. That doesn't mean the preacher's name is herald. It means that he is a herald. In the ancient world, if a king wanted to disseminate a message, he couldn't tweet, he couldn't do Instagram, he couldn't do it on Facebook, he couldn't go on TV, couldn't write a letter, he couldn't call on the phone. He had to have a herald. So a herald would have the king's message on a scroll. He would walk through the streets of the town. He would get up on a high podium and he would say, hear ye, thus saith the king. And then he would proclaim, he would announce the king's message. Now, there's so much going through my brain. One of the problems I have with this passage is I've preached it so many times and I love it so much that it's hard for me to even get through the text. But let me say this, when a herald would have the king's message to proclaim, he couldn't change it. He couldn't say, man, this king doesn't know what he's talking about. King has a message, but I'm going to put it aside. Let me tell you what I think you need to know. He'd be in big trouble, be off with his head. He couldn't add to it. He couldn't take away from it. He couldn't change it. He couldn't dilute it. He couldn't twist it. He couldn't work it around. He would actually, from beginning to end, tell the people what the message of the king was. He was a herald. And that's conveyed in the idea of this word keruso. It has the idea of to herald with formality and gravity and authority. When a herald was proclaiming a king's message, he was speaking for the king with all the authority of the king. When a preacher or a pastor or a teacher or a Christian is sharing, proclaiming God's word, you are a herald. You are speaking with all the authority of God himself. That's why you should quote scripture when you're sharing with people. You should share the word of God because it's like the two-edged sword, right? Sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts to the heart of individuals. And so the herald was speaking with authority and formality and gravity. He wasn't just discussing things and talking about things. He had a message. He preached it. He proclaimed it. If you didn't like what the herald said, take it up with the king. If you didn't like the message the herald brought, talk to the king about it. I'm just a delivery boy. And that's what a preacher is supposed to be, by the way. He's supposed to not invent his message or create his message, but just preach his message. So what is Timothy to preach? Notice it in verse 2. The word. Not about the word, not from the Word, the Word. Now, what is the Word? Back up chapter 3 to verse 14, down to verse 17. Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom you have learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures." I believe that the Word in verse 2 of chapter 4 is the same as the holy scriptures in chapter 3 and verse 15. So you are to continue in the things that you've learned from the time you were a child. You know the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And without skipping a beat, there's no gap between chapter 3 and chapter 4, I charge thee therefore. Now, because you're to follow Paul's example, Timothy, because you're to stand on the scriptures, which bring salvation, which are given by inspiration and are sufficient for life and godliness, then I want you to preach, or keruso, to herald God's word. So the therefore of chapter 4, verse 1, takes you back into the end of chapter 3, where Paul had exhorted Timothy to continue in the scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation, given by inspiration of God, and are profitable for what is right, what is wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right. The fact that the Bible is given to stay right with God indicates that we never outgrow it, we never get beyond it. That it's a lifelong process of continuing in God's Word. I had a Christian friend years ago when we were young Christians, and he read the Bible, then he stopped. And I go, why did you stop reading the Bible? Because he goes, I finished it. Last chapter, last verse. Buckaroo, okay, I've done that, done deal. I finished it. I said, well, start over again, Buckaroo. You want me to read it again? Yeah, I want you to read it again. And keep reading it over and over and over and over again. And meditate day and night in God's Word. You don't just read the Bible, I've read that, oh, I read that, oh, I read that. You continue to read God's Word. And every time you read God's Word, you discover new things, don't you? And it's kind of exhaustiveless. It's as infinite as God Himself. God has placed His Word above His own very name. So let me give you the synonyms here. The preach the Word, and then notice in verse 3, sound doctrine. Then in verse 4, the truth. And then in verse 7, the faith. These are all a reference to the Word. You're to preach sound doctrine. You're to preach the truth. You're to preach the Word. Now, know what Timothy is not to preach. He doesn't say preach philosophy. He doesn't say preach psychology. He doesn't say preach your own ideas or your own concepts or what you want to say. He said preach the Word, nothing more, nothing less. I believe that what Paul is telling Timothy to do and telling pastors to do today is preach what are called expository sermons, or teaching expositionally. Now, sorry for that big word, but expository expositional preaching is this. It is preaching the meaning of the text in its historical, grammatical, and theological context. Every verse of Scripture has one meaning, not multiple meanings. You can't make a verse of Scripture say what you want it to mean. It meant what it meant when Paul wrote to the Philippians. It had a historical context. So to get to the meaning of a text, you have to study its history. You have to study its grammar. You have to study other Scriptures and the theology of the Scriptures and bring them to bear upon those verses. You can't just read a verse and pull that out of context and make it say whatever you want it to say. And I actually hear people preaching that way, where a pastor will read a verse and then say a bunch of stuff that maybe isn't really even wrong or unbiblical, but it wasn't what the verse meant, and it wasn't what the verse was all about. They just drew an idea out of the verse, which wasn't really the intention of that verse. So expositional preaching is basically saying what the text says. It's pulling out of the text the meaning of the text. And I believe that that's what Paul means when he says, preach the word. The preacher's first aim is to discover the text writer's intended meaning and to preach its meanings. The preacher's second aim is to let the text speak again through the sermon, the same message of the text writer. I want to know what Paul meant by what he said. I don't want to know what you think it means, or what I think it means, or what we feel like it means, but we want to know what it means, right? You ever been in a home Bible study where everybody's like, I think it means this, and I think it means that, I think it means this, and I think it means that, and by the end of the discussion, nobody knows what it means. I don't know about you, but I don't like people to take me out of context. And it's always bugged me when people, when I'll make a statement and people say, what did you really mean by that? What do you mean, what do I mean? Well, what did you really mean? What I meant was what I actually said. Yeah, but you must have meant something else. No, I say what I mean and I mean what I say. God says what he means and he means what he says. And when you're reading the Bible, you have different kinds of literature, poetry and history, and you have prophecy and you have teaching and the epistle. So you have to take all that into consideration. But good preaching basically says what the Bible says. It's teaching the Word of God with nothing added, nothing subtracted. It's faithful exposition. This is the only way to truly preach the Word. Today it's popular for preachers to be famous orators or powerful speakers. And it's okay to use humor, it's okay to use illustrations, it's okay to have practical application, but it must be consistent with the meaning of the text. And I'm absolutely convinced that your average person in the pew doesn't really know, isn't discerning enough to understand what real biblical preaching is, because we're not Bereans, we don't study the Bible, and we don't ask ourselves, is that verse that he just quoted out of context, is that what that verse really means? Is that was what the intended, the author really meant? And you can use verses out of context to say things that aren't really even biblical. Now, the next four commands tell us what should characterize true biblical preaching or how to preach the word. It should be done with, number one, urgency. If you're taking notes, write this down. Notice it says, be urgent in season and out of season, or be instant in season out of season. So it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, what century we're living in, we need to preach God's word with a sense of urgency. So you do it instant in season and out of season. Actually, this means that this type of preaching is always in vogue. It's always God's will, it's always God's purpose, and always God's intention. Now, preaching is truth through personality, so it's going to change and differ a little bit in style, but the content must be biblical, or it's not true biblical preaching. So there's no substitute for this kind of preaching. It's to be done in season and out of season, always on duty. Now, I'm not a hunter, but there's a hunting season. I'm not a fisherman, but there's a fishing season, and you do it seasonally. But did you know it's always open season for preaching the word?
Today, Pastor John shared with you the primary function of a teaching pastor in the church, to teach the word. Sadly, many church leaders today don't preach the Bible, or if they do, it's limited and tends to fit their opinion instead. Pastor John warned you to find a church that will teach you God's Word verse by verse, allowing it to drive their sermon instead. Pastor John also reminded you that you need to read the Bible for yourself too. In this study, we've been learning about the importance of sound biblical teaching. Pastor John says the highest need in the church today is for pastors to follow the Apostle Paul's instruction to preach the Word. And we have a resource to help you do just that. It's called The Nuts and Bolts of Expository Preaching, and it's available in our online store. Held at Revival Christian Fellowship, this conference addresses the importance of expository preaching and the benefits of it. Find it at revival.tv/store. What a sad state the world is going to be in the final days. People aren't going to be interested in the truth. They'll want feel-good messages and light teaching, maybe from the Bible, if necessary. Pastor John will share on the next Revival Radio that this is starting now. Sadly, some pastors aren't teaching from God's Word. They're bending instead to popular opinion. Tune in again as Pastor John continues teaching through his series, Living Faithfully, next time on Revival Radio.